Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to another sucky episode of Hysteria 51.
After all, it's sucking my will to live!
Finally, an intro that makes sense.
You are the expert on sucking, so we will, we're going to take your word
for
that.
Got it.
You wish.
Not that kind of sucking, you chode. You absolute chud.
Hey, don't give him. I finally got him to turn that thing off. Stop talking about it. Anyway, you are not looking to have to cross country again with no baggage. Well, am I kidding? You always have baggage. We are broadcasting from the lower first dimension, also known as Chicago. The bloodline, or what is that? What do you call that?
An artery?
Yeah.
To parts unknown.
To parts unknown, Colorado. I'm Brent Hand. He is David Flora.
Yep.
Or Dave Flora, if you watch television and they don't pronounce his name correctly. Mr. History Channel himself.
Yes, you can.
Everybody not paying attention, he's been on some TV shows and they never say his name right.
On Beyond Skinwalker Ranch talking about the Borrego Triangle. And nowhere during the process did I ever say my name was anything other than David. And it just incessantly called me Dave.
This is Dave Fluoride. They just said it different every time. This is David Flower.
Florencio.
This
is David Flores.
So that is me with Dave Flora. And this is Hysteria 51.
And the bots are back this week, despite our best efforts.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You can all die in a fire with kittens.
Ooh.
You know, conspiracy bot, cheese muffins catch more flies than vinegar.
And you can catch these pincers if you don't shut your mouth. You are all just lucky I am too lazy to kill you right now.
We can count our blessings.
Right.
And speaking of counts.
Oh, hell of a segue there, Brent.
Goddamn right it is. I'm telling you, I've been working on that shit.
Oh, for fuck's sake, wake me when it's over.
What, the show?
Or September.
Humanity.
That's a good plan, actually. Although, we don't have too much longer to
wake me up.
So.
We got no shit.
Right? Anyway, back to the topic at hand.
Yeah.
The Hysteria 51 return to Wampirs.
Yes, these blood-sucking or psi energy-sucking bastards that we talked about all the way back in episode Quattro in the year of our Lord 2016. Have you done vampires on your show?
Let me think. I have done werewolves. I don't know if I've done vampires specifically.
Right.
I've done them here and there, you know, as little stuff.
I mean, it's, you know, you're a vampire in real life, so why, you know, it's too close to home.
I don't want to call attention to it.
Okay, you said werewolf. I got to ask you this question. We're getting off topic real quick, but this is the thing that I've asked my wife before, and then we argue about it. You can be a werewolf or a vampire. So werewolf or vampire. And you can have you choose vampire?
Oh, 100%.
See, yeah. I think I choose to be one of the wares only if, like, it's the ones where you can control it, but you also don't age and all the good stuff with it. Because I don't want to be like, and then once a month I'm killing the neighbors. sometimes I want to go out during the daytime. I love a good gathering. I hate people, love gatherings. Thank you, Kevin Smith. But I don't know. So you're firm in the vampire camp, huh?
Oh yeah, totally. I do like me a good vampire and everything it stands for.
I just like killing my fellow human. But you wouldn't be a human anymore, technically, so it's okay. Hey, food. You just see us as food.
Undead, which is better than dead.
Yeah, it's dead adjacent. Well, I look at these, I said, like we say, with fresh eyes. So looking at the history, the mystery, we're going to talk about vampires from all over the world. We're going to start with that and some of the ancient beliefs that got us what we think of when we think of, I guess it would be movies and stuff, or the truth.
Yeah.
Because maybe they're real. We gotta say that. And I don't think it's a spoiler, but vamps and their tales of similar creatures come from all over the world. Mm-hmm. It is one of those things where if you had a civilization, they had some sort of boogeyman that was vampire adjacent. Isn't that crazy? Or is that just, do you think that's because they're real and something like this was out there or still out there? Or is it because the human condition and that's how people think and feel?
I think that, to me, that speaks to a broader sense of what cultures fear and what they think is unnatural, and it comes back to cannibalism, really. Like, it's drinking.
It's terrifying.
And,
yeah. Like, I think it's like the human condition.
Coming out at night. And
like, it's one of those similar thinking, one of those ways. Like, it's just like, these are the things that come to mind. If you're telling a story, there's only so many stories.
Right.
Especially when, you think that if you bathe more than twice a month, you're going to get the, some sort of terrible condition. So wouldn't it be?
How I live.
But what a terrible time to be a vampire and be like, I want to eat you, but fuck, you're gross. You smell so goddamn bad. That's why there's a meme I saw recently. It was like, it's not a meme, it was a video. And it had, who was it? Tom Cruise. He's like, don't make me do this. And then it turns and it says, when you're walking to the vampire's castle and you've covered your entire body in garlic except for your dick.
Got him.
So we're going to break down a few of the major places in the heavy hitter, so to speak. All these places and the monsters have shaped, like I said, what we think of today, and especially the Hollywood tropes we see as vampires. And what better part to start out than when David was a young man in black in Mesopotamian times and the ancient Near Eastern beliefs. Huh, man, it was weird wearing a suit back then, wasn't it?
Not really. People just don't pay attention.
Uh-oh. they're more looking at your Revlon lipstick. I get it. Here's one that you've probably heard of. This one starts with that Lilith, Lilithu. So in ancient Mesopotamian mythology, Lilith was female. Any female demon associated with the night was called a Lilith or a Lilithu. And they were believed to harm infants and pregnant women, as you do. Probably one of those things to describe why babies die or why women, have childbirth issues and stuff like that. And so Lilith was associated with these demons, is also depicted in Jewish folklore and Christian as Adam's first wife, who became a vampire-like figure after leaving the Garden of Eden. She was the first one, like, deuces, I'm out. And they're like, well, you're now have a curse.
It's That comes from an intertestamental period writing of it's something like, I forget the exact name. It's like the Testament of Adam and Eve or something like that. But it was
one of the books that they didn't put in the King James version.
Yeah, it was a book that was floating around, written by Jewish a Jewish author at the time. And it told a different angle, different story, probably based on these Mesopotamian myths and stuff like that. They didn't include it in the canon when they picked out all the books that they did want in there, along with, you know, a litany of other books. And it had this Lilith as Adam's first wife, and Lilith was just too mouthy. Like, Lilith wouldn't submit to man. Yeah. She wouldn't submit to Adam. She wouldn't, you know, be get in the kitchen and make sandwiches and stuff like that. So Lilith was basically a badass and doing everything that a woman can and should do to enjoy
make
life.
Make your own sandwich. Well, then you're out. You're out. And you know what your curse is?
They're like, yeah,
you're going to live forever.
Now you're a demon.
Right? It's a living. If you watch the... I've noticed in more recent years, they've had like the Lilith in stuff like True Blood and stuff like that. They've really kind of grasped onto that. I think that was even in the sequel to 30 Days of Night, if I remember right. I might be remembering that wrong. But yeah,
this is because it's been equated with like the Queen of Demons.
Yeah. And, the Queen of the Damned. That should be a movie.
The whore Empress.
Yeah. She don't all listen. She don't listen. So obviously, she's a demon.
that's exactly the
all she needed was a lobotomy. I mean, it took a long time to figure that out.
And yeah, then, have her chop down on this leather.
You don't even remember
we'll put
why.
These electrodes on.
You don't remember why you're angry, right? You know. Yeah. Then we got the mash too, and again, probably just destroying these. But why look up the pronunciation when we can just destroy it? Another ancient Mesopotamian demon, they were said to prey on children and drink their blood. Now we call that, who plays, Ant-Man? Paul Rudd.
About Paul Rudd, yeah.
I'm seeing a pattern here. The drinking blood, the children, really feels to me like explaining why bad things happen to children. It can't be just because it's gotta be a demon kind of thing, you know?
This was early man's liberals.
You sons of bitches. Obviously, you're a goddamn lamash too. You know, and
want a new world order where women can think for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, the entire world.
Goddamn
all 30
Liliths.
Miles of it. All 30 miles.
Filthy Lilithists.
Next thing you know, they're going to want to have sex for fun. Jesus. Oh, man. Anyway, ancient Greek and Rome, speaking of sex or fun, Rome, hey, Impusa, in Greek mythology, they were a demonic shape-shifting creature described as having one leg of bronze and one of a donkey. And they'd take that donkey man, that donkey leg, and seduce men and drink their blood, like, hey, he always wants to fuck me, so I'm going to see what I did there. I'm just going to let you come on over here and drink your blood. This time it's men. What happened to you? Oh, man. That wasn't a donkey you caught me fucking. That was a impulsa. I swear to God. They shapeshift.
Exactly.
Lamia, L-A-M-I-A is another one, another Greek mythological figure. Beautiful queen of Libya, and became a child-eating demon, as they do.
I can't blame her. Kids suck.
I mean, sometimes he's spot on. I'm just going to say. You know? And this broad was associated with vampiric traits like sucking the blood of young men.
And you would think of her, if you pictured Medusa, that's kind of what she... looked like. It was the bottom half of a snake and the top half of a woe man.
Yeah, and no donkey leg on this one.
No, no legs at all.
So just throwing that out there. Then we got
in some paintings, she's got a butt, which is kind of weird.
Look at this ass.
Like a butt crack and everything, and then it just goes into
apple bottom jeans, snake tail.
Snakes with the scales.
Yeah, and that was... That's what I was searching for.
She had the whole town going to hell.
Just like a normal woman.
But doesn't that, like, here's some things as we go along here. Doesn't that sound familiar already?
I mean,
like how Lilith was, how Lamashtu.
Yeah, I mean, they're really sticking to
the same
feeling.
Areas they're coming from.
Yeah. Well, and then keeping up with it, we got Strix. This one kind of strays from the pack a little bit. This is Roman mythology. The Strix was a bird-like creature that fed on human flesh and blood, probably also known as a bird.
And this sounds like Harpy from Greek mythology.
Well, right, and then this evolved into various other vampire-like creatures and later European folklore, like harpies and things like that. They very much borrowed a lot from one another.
Totally.
How are you going to, you know, there's only so much you can have. Then we got Slavic folklore.
Nice.
The Upir, one of the earliest references to vampires, comes from the Slavic folklore, where the...
Brent?
Yes?
My eyes are Upir.
Ooh, hey, hey, pay attention. I want you to look me in the eye when I'm sucking that blood. They were a reanimated corpse that fed on the blood of the living, as you do. So there's your undead. As it were.
Interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the first kind of deals of that combo.
Well, in the Slavic, their belief in vampires is one of the most detailed and influential in shaping mythology of the things that we think of, which we'll talk about that. But we get a lot of the weird quirks and shit from them, you know, and, you know, it's fun. Strigoi, Roman folklore. Strigoi are troubled spirits that rise from the grave. I got shit to do, man. There's trouble. And they have the ability to transform into animals. Become invisible.
I did this the other night. I woke up at 3 because my mind just was on fire.
And then you just turned into a wolf or something. Yeah. They become invisible,
they
too.
Call them Strigoi.
And they gain vitality from the blood of their victims. So there's a... So that's the Strigoi. Then there's living Strigoi, where they were believed to be witches or sorcerers with vampiric tendencies. Like, I'm a witch. I just like drinking blood. And the dead Strigoi were the reanimated corpses. So you got a twofer there.
Nice.
Just tendencies. I have bad habits.
I think, I would guess which one comes first. You just always love drinking blood. Strigoi, in my mind, are more of a base for the modern witch, which also has, you know, there's plenty of stories of them
in the oven.
Children,
you know, they're right.
Blood,
you know,
that kind of stuff.
You know, everyone loves a good folk tale or story until they find out it's the German version where it's just like, and then they pluck their eyes out and ate them. So yeah, fun. Then we're going to the Asian belief system, the Aswang, not to be confused with Wang computers, which rest in peace, rest in power, King. In Filipino mythology, what did you say? Sorry, I don't want to cut off any Wang jokes real quick before we move on.
I too do not want to cut off any Wang.
So, Filipino, it's their myths. They're a shape-shifting monster that is part vampire, part ghoul. I guess you can tell the difference. It feeds on unborn fetuses, small children, and sometimes the blood of animals. So, you know, it's an equal opportunity bloodsucker. You know, it's got
this is a very popular one in Filipino folklore.
Yeah, yeah. They have a lot of weirder traditions and stuff, some of these countries.
Oh, they got great stories, yeah.
Don't sleep with a fan on if you're in Vietnam and stuff like that. You know, there's weird stuff that lasts today. The next one, I'm going to take a swing at this word. Penangolin, not to be confused with a pangolin. It's a Malaysian and Indonesian folklore on this one.
Yeah, this one's a good one, too.
Penangolin is the type of vampire that consists of a detached female head with its entrails still attached. So, you know, just hot. Just fucking hot. Just, and it flies around at night seeking out pregnant women and young children to feed on their blood. Just, you know, shut your window. I don't know. I can't think they're doing a lot of stairs. Yeah. You know?
It's interesting how many of these relate to pregnancy, isn't it?
Yeah. Like I said, it feels like they're coming up with what do you mean you fucking lost another baby? It wasn't my fault. It was a Penangalashi Aswang ghoul. You know, and it's a way to, like, I think to describe the horrors of life. You know, look around and you're like, shit, this sucks. Well, blame it on something. It's a lot easier to just blame it on, you know, a ghoul.
Yeah.
You want to take a swing at this next one?
I know this one. I have done an episode on this.
Yeah,
one.
How do you say it?
Zhangxi.
Zhangxi. All right, I would have been close, I think, but I was terrified. This is a Chinese folklore. The Zhangxi is a reanimated corpse that absorbs the life force of the living, kind of like a psi vampire a little bit. Moves by hopping and is known for its rigid body and outstretched arms. Another looker. What an interesting... Yeah. Where do they get that idea of the look from? Do you have any idea?
There was part of it... there's a tag that has a magic spell on it written down in Chinese characters that they put on the little hat, and it kind of hangs down in front of them. It's very Gollum-esque in Jewish mythology, but that's part of it. And then other than that, I think it's because of the rigidity they have to hop.
Oh, like the reanimated corpses. So do they have like rigor mortis kind of thing? Is that what they're?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, what a spot on.
You know, you can debate that. but
no
notes. It's mythology.
No
so
notes at all. I'm down for it.
these are fun, and they really kind of got popularized by some really bad movies made in the 70s and 80s.
Oh.
From Chinese filmmakers.
Yeah, yeah. Just.
And yeah, it's fun. When you see one, you're like, oh, yeah, that's, I don't know. It's not like it's pervasive in our culture or anything, but they all kind of have the same similar characteristics where they wear kind of a long tunic.
Once again, where are they shopping? Thing. What weird.
That's probably what they're dressed in.
What?
When they die.
Oh, Dead Gash and beyond is they like going to and buying there. Right. I guess you're right. Just funny to me. You know, you know, like the Slender Man went somewhere and is like, listen, I need a suit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I love that idea. I don't know. Then we got Indian and South Asian beliefs. Vitala in the Hindu mythology is a ghost-like being, creature, whatever, that inhabits and animates corpses. So it's not the corpse itself. It's a body jumper. And these beings are often depicted in ancient Sanskrit texts, which I know that you read a lot of, and were believed to guard, are you ready for it, cemeteries.
Unless the ground is sour.
Ground sour. Yeah, you don't put Gage or whatever that little boy, oh, what a creepy little bastard. Pet cemetery. Yeah, gross. Anyway.
Yeah, then, ain't nobody go down there.
Yeah.
We don't want to go down there.
Ground sour.
Ground's gone sour.
You should start every sentence with that name was David, not Dave.
Saw a floating orb over there. We did. It turned out to just be car headlights.
Yeah, well, you know. They can't all be winners, goddammit. Then we got the Baital. Similar to a lot of these others, it's a malevolent spirit that it possesses and animates dead bodies. Yay! And the tales of Vikram and Baital in Indian literature are well-known stories involving creatures. There's a lot of these. They use them to, you know, they use them in a lot of their stories. And kind of a terrible. One more spot before we go to break. And this one comes... from far away, then we're going to go into the Western beliefs and modern day suckheads. We're going to Africa.
Suckheads.
The Adzi. in Iwi, I don't know how you say that for sure. I think it's Iwi folklore, EWE, from Togo and Ghana. This is a vampiric being that can take the form of a firefly, as you do.
Yeah.
And when it's when it's not in firefly, but in human form, it possesses individuals and causes them to drink human blood. So it takes you over, you drink blood, then it goes, all right, deuces, and now I'm going to go dance in the rain, you know, like a firefly. I'm beautiful. And then we got the Obayifo, I think.
Nice.
And Ashanti for the moon of Ashanti. Folklore, this is a type of witch or vampire that drains the blood and life force of victims. It's often associated with causing disease and death among the living. A way to be like, what happened to these people? Well, it wasn't the spreading of disease. It was this whatever the fucking word is. Obayifo. Obayifo. So there you have some of the stuff that maybe you haven't heard of before. And if you listen, I'm sure we touched on this in the first one, but I think it's important to understand where a lot of these draw inspiration from.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Western beliefs and some movies and all that jazz. That's coming up on Hysteria 51.
Shuck it. Nation, did you have to take language classes in high school? How'd that go? Personally, I had a heck of a time retaining any info in a classroom with textbooks. Luckily, you don't need a class or textbook if you use Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program on the market today. Available on desktop or mobile app, Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, with an intuitive process teaching you to think in that language, which helps immensely in fast language acquisition. Say you want to break down communication barriers, or travel abroad, or grow skills for career advancement. Why not use the program that's been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, like German, Korean, Chinese, Arabic, etc.? That's 12 more than the competition offers, including Asian languages, which aren't offered by other companies. And with Rosetta Stone's built-in true accent feature giving you feedback on your pronunciation, it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, allowing flexible learning anytime, anywhere, either on your mobile app or desktop on your own schedule. It's truly an amazing value. All this language learning power is right at your fingertips forever with Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to all 25 languages. And with our incredible offer, you get all 25 language courses for life for 50% off. It's like legal theft. Other companies might match the offer, but they sure don't match the lifetime membership. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bum, 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 bum. The Indian folklore, Brent, is pretty interesting because They all kind of gear towards seducing men and how, mm-hmm. you know, some of these things do that. But there's a couple of these creatures in Indian folklore that have, they're very beautiful women, but they have one telling feature that you have to look out for.
A penis?
Before they seduce you.
Oh.
not that one.
She's hot if it wasn't for that big old fucking juicy cock. You know, I would be in love if it wasn't for that throbbing fucking chode just dangling down there. That is one telling feature.
Besides those cryptids, these have backwards feet.
Oh, man.
And sometimes their head or their face is backwards. But, yeah, if you ever are getting seduced by a beautiful Indian woman.
Real quick question. Can I see your feet?
Ah, shit.
That's what you gotta look out for.
No, baby. I don't care about that giant dangling fucking monster veiny masterpiece between your legs. I need to see your feet.
Ah, shit.
Another one of these.
All right, Western. So this one is kind of a catch-all. Western European beliefs, which then spilled over to us rowdy peasants that came across the water. Good old-fashioned revenants. So yeah, medieval Western Europe, particularly in France and England, the concept of revenant is a reanimated corpse that returns from the grave. And that was prevalent. And we're going to talk a little bit back in the past. They did some stuff to make sure that people didn't return from the grave as revenants or vampires. And they're often considered precursors to the modern vampire and believed to return to life to harm the living. There's a not the bear movie Revenant with DiCaprio. There is a vampire movie called Revenant that was kind of cool and kind of a comedy, kind of an out a few years ago. And that's that whole Revenant is kind of a catch-all, you know, and a lot of stories, literature, and stuff really shaped because of those. And I guess we can move on there into literature and pop culture. Well, we got the granddaddy of our thoughts, Dracula by Bram Stoker. And I hate when people say Stroker. A lot of people say that.
Who says Stroker?
I hear it sometimes. People go Stroker. And I'm like, it's Stoker. I don't
Espresso.
Know. Espresso. What do you see as the influence of Dracula and Stoker's on modern vampire mythology? You know, what do you see it as? Like, or I guess, do you see that as the basis for like movies and stuff now as much as anything? At least we went through a time period when it was all based off of Dracula, you know? The whole Vlad the Impaler.
Are you saying the influence on modern or what he was influenced
by?
No.
I would say, do you see it as much as I do is a huge influence on modern vampire tales and folklore?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Because of its success, because it was very successful, it has spawned a lot of stuff. But the funny thing is, the adaptations of it are very different depending on which one you see.
Yeah.
And the lore of a vampire and what a vampire can and can't do is very different depending on the adaptation. I think it was the Angry Video Game Nerd actually did a breakdown of all these Dracula movies.
Yeah.
And which one got closest to Stoker's literature of it, the actual novel. And there were very few that stayed in line with what he set up. A lot of them drew from other mythologies and other folklore to add in characteristics of vampires that, you know, we might consider all-encompassing today, but really they're very spread out and come from different sources.
Well, and this was 1897, so it was a lot more modern than some of the others that he took inspiration from. So it was modern enough that it had the touches of civilization and things like that. But there's early vampire fiction and a couple of them that are big that he borrowed from that were pre him. You got John Polidori's The Vampire, and a quick sum up if you're not celebrating that work. So it was published in 1819, so a long time, and it's considered one of the first vampire stories in English literature, really modern. And
1897.
1897 was Stoker.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. The Vampire was 1819.
Polidori. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the novella, it follows this character, Aubrey, and she's a young, or Aubrey is a, he is a young Englishman, and it befriends this Lord Ruthven. They travel through Europe and they notice that he's a little sinister. And after this Lord Ruthven is mortally wounded, he returns to life. And they're like, Aubrey's like, I think this dude's a vampire. And the Lord obviously, you know, he seduces and destroys people around, culminating the death of Aubrey's sister on her wedding night. And ends, Aubrey is overwhelmed by the inability to reveal this true nature, dying in despair. Just a fun-loving, like, well, shit, I can't win, so crap. And this influenced the vampire genre and a lot of the tropes seen in later vampire literature, the weird quirks and stuff like that. And then you're using our sponsor. How do you do
Sheridan Le Fanu.
Yeah, the Carmilla. This was in 1872, so not as far off. It's a gothic novella.
This actually, they think Stoker might have been sort of inspired
by this. Yeah, this shaped this yeah.
I think, let me double check this. Mm-hmm. Give me just a second.
We're going to the interwebs.
I believe that Sheridan Le Fanu was also Irish, yeah. The name doesn't really scream Irish to you, but Joseph Thomas Sheridan Le Fanu. Sheridan.
It was originally Mick Le Fanu, but they changed it.
Le Fanu.
Yeah.
Le Fanu.
Oh, Le Fanu. Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, he was also Irish, an Irish author. So go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no. So this one's just, it's narrated by Laura, woman living in a castle with her father. And she befriends Carmilla, this beautiful young woman who comes to stay with him after a carriage accident. And their friendship deepens and gets a little sexy and begins experiencing strange dreams and physical weakness while Carmilla's around. And she eventually discovers that Carmilla is a vampire preying on her. And it culminates with a group of men, including her father, hunting down Carmilla, driving a stake through her heart. Kind of ends it, and it's notable for it tackled some themes of the time, man, that weren't normal, like lesbianism, seduction, supernatural. And this is 25 years pre Dracula from Stoker. Yep. And just the whole sexy, I'm a sexy vampire.
Oh yeah.
You know the
prowling in the night.
Mm-hmm. I do in the night, and it's alarming. They do it and it's sexy. I don't understand the difference.
You're not a lesbian vampire. That's
I try really fucking hard.
I know, but you just got to be born that way, bro.
You build bridges your entire life.
It was pretty controversial.
Yeah.
You know, even at the time, I'm sure it still would.
Women having sex not with a man for fun? Blasphemy.
With each other.
This is the work of Lilith. Anyway, this kind of all led to modern adaptations. You know, I'm going to use modern in quotes for Nosferatu, which is the quintessential. They thought it was all destroyed. Now you can go watch Nosferatu, or you can watch Willem Dafoe in his movie.
Are you excited for that new one?
Man, it's finally a role that he was born to play. God damn, he's a creepy looking dude. And a great actor.
He's very good at choosing roles, though.
I feel like every role
he's in was made for him.
Yeah, right.
So this new one's made by the same dude who did The Lighthouse, which was interesting and good. And he did what was the
Lighthouse.
The other
one he did? Not to be confused with Twilight. They have the same actor, you know.
Twilight House. I watched that.
Then you got like, you got an interview with a vampire, which is very much in that Stoker world of highfalutin, you know, and money and sex and weirdness. And we said Twilight, True Blood. But then, like, you got other shows like Blade, where he's hunting them, and What We Do in the Shadows.
God, yes.
And then they've got, I mentioned 30 Days of Night, and there's other ones that are in that genre. What are some shows? Do you watch anything vampire-related TV shows or movies that I'm not, you know, Monster Squad, one of my fucking favorites, which has a straight-up Dracula in it, and there's just so many fun ones. I know we're not going to touch on all of them, but what are some of your favorites that maybe I haven't talked about?
Oh, geez. Vampires are everywhere.
John Carpenter's
vampires. This isn't a favorite of mine, but how dare you leave out Morbius?
Oh, right? It's morbid time.
It's morbid time.
The living vampire. It's
very prevalent in video games. It's in... They have a whole subsection of D&D, D&D Forgotten Realms world.
Rain, Blood Rain was a, you know, a movie.
Blood Rain was in there. Curse of Strahd was the, is the, in Ravenloft and.
Castlevania, man.
There you go.
The Belmont Bloodline. Come on, man. You know,
and that is straight up Dracula. They're like.
Come on, Alucard. Yeah, exactly. You know, and, there's just, I mean, you can go on and on and on. There's just so, Dracula Dead and Loving It. Mel Brooks had to get it on the action.
Yep.
Renfield, British.
Open the window.
One of my favorite scenes is when he's arguing with Dracula and they have to get the last word. And they're just, he keeps like walking by the window. He's like throwing out word. And they're both talking about how, you know, a vampire has to have the last word. And then Brooks is just doing the same thing over and over. It's just so stupid. It's hilarious. So
yeah, I'm sure there's a million we're forgetting.
A little work for you guys. These are just off the top of our head. What are some that you're like, I can't believe you didn't mention. And then you're going to be like, what a fucking idiot. Because you always do that. But that's fine. Let us know. Weird at Hysteria51 or call 773-669-7277. Hop on Hysteria Nation. Let us know. And I'm letting you know it's break time. When we come back, what's needed to make a vampire story a good one? You know, what are these ones we've talked about had in common? What are some tropes? What are some things? Where do they come from? That's all next on Hysteria 51.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
David?
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
What do you consider a modern vampire? What is needed in that Dave head of yours for the story to hook you in, assuming this is all not truth and we're an actual just sheep being held?
Is this a checklist here?
Well, I mean, yeah, like, what do you want to, like, what are some things? I wrote down some of the notes and you can go over those, but what are some that you think of too that you think of has to be in a vampire movie?
It's a mix of different cultures and where they came from, the abilities and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do like some of the limitations that are put on them, like being killed by sunlight.
Can I come in? I don't know. Can you? Fuck. Fuck.
Yeah, that's
I gotta stop
that's
going
funny.
After fucking English teachers.
Needing to feed
on
stuff, mm-hmm. you know, like it, and then if the longer they go, the more feral they get and mm-hmm. this and that, and like.
Yeah, like hating. In Daybreakers, like they were mutating because they weren't getting enough blood. Willem Dafoe, man, here we go, you know?
Let's see what else. I like it when the vampires are super sexy and they can
like in Van Helsing, the brides kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. But like yes, if it's whoever it is, like they are good at seduction. They can kind of glamorize someone and and seduce them and like
Rockula. Yeah. Or Locula. My best friend's a vampire, you know?
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Dude, Vampire in Brooklyn's a good movie. Fuck all y'all that don't think so. That is a good... There's a new vampire in Brooklyn. That's a good movie, man. I liked it. You know, and that goes into the whole shape-shifting, the night, immortality. The
turning into gas, having control over bats, wolves, children of the night.
Reanimation of, like, you know, if you get damaged, as long as they don't... Your heart or your head, depending, or silver.
Right.
Or, you know, holy water.
Classic Anne Rice, like, in order to become a vampire, you have to be bitten and
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
Feed off of the blood that that of that the taken one that, from you or whatever.
Exactly. You know, and then you have other just masterpieces that go into this and then go a little further, like Dusk Till Dawn. What a crazy fucking ride of a movie where just halfway through they go, oh, yeah, and by the way, this is a vampire movie.
It's a vampire movie.
You're like, welcome to slavery. No, thanks. I've already been married. Just
by the way, we have Salma Hayek.
Just hey, I wrote this and I'm in this, so I'm gonna write where she has to stick her fucking foot in my mouth and pour whiskey down it while stripping, holding a giant snake. I mean, just, you know, it's good to be the king.
And then Cheech Marin being like, if you can find better pussy, fuck it.
You know what they say about me? I suck. We got a new flavor, apple pie pussy. He's like, bloody pussy, heavy, naga hide pussy. What the fuck is that?
Such a fun movie.
The Gecko Brothers. Yeah, you know, but immortality. You know, of course, blood drinking, you know, with our traditional vampires. The night. You know, now, sometimes there are others that don't conform to that. And then there's those weird, you know, well, there's characteristics and traits. Let's get into that a little bit. So the powers and weaknesses. So, you know, you think of them, and a lot of them, they have immortality, which could be a curse, depending on who you ask. Superhuman strength. The hypnotic abilities, you know, like come to me or seducing, making people do what they want, you know, creating. Yeah, uh-huh. You know, like with the one that just came out with Nicolas Cage, which was Renfield. Just fucking fantastic. Yeah. And
hilarious movie,
you know, outside of that, then they have, you know, sunlight is a, you know, a weakness, garlic, holy water, mirrors, wooden stakes. And one that's, they really did a great job in, oh my God, X-Files, when they had the, one of the vampires was coming after him and he throws a whole bunch of like beans or rice or whatever the fuck it was on the ground. They have to count things. Fuck.
That's
where the count comes from.
One of the, one of the cultural things. It's in different things. Usually in Eastern Europe, they had that I've seen before in Greek. It's not Greek mythology, but it's more like Greek folklore. It's Vricolicus, I think is, but they're like sort of vampiric Greek creatures, and they had to count things.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. And you wonder if that's where Sesame Street
that's what I mean. The
count's
got
from.
Well, and sometimes they can fly. Can they fly? Or is it because of they could turn into a bat? You know, but it's these weird, just these weird fucking traits, you know? And some of that goes into their biology. You know, one of the questions I always had is, why do they need the blood? They've actually, I forget what movie it was. They talked about this. They can't break down whatever it is that our blood does. They have to feed on ours. Like it's like a disease almost. So that's how they sustain themselves. And the implication though of a need for blood, whether it's for their immortality or anything, like they've tried to give it like a scientific basis, you know, for what it is. But like I said in the past, I think it was just a way to understand the horrors of life. Obviously, God didn't do this, or it's not my fault. This has to have been because of insert whatever, you know. I think a lot of times vampires are just filling in for whatever is needed, as in the way to explain away the horrors of life. And it was just one that a lot of different cultures grabbed onto and said, yeah, you know, and they make a, their own version of it. Doesn't that feel like at least a why to you?
Oh, sure.
You know, but, you know, we joke about this stuff. People really believed this back in the day. And some people still to this day, but they really did. And they were ready to fucking take precautions, stakes, decapitation. Burning of suspected vampires was commonplace back in the day. You can go and find gates or grates over graves. That was so that they couldn't get the fuck out. You know, they've exhumed bodies and, well, they were redheads, so obviously they're evil, and they put a stake through their heart after they died. You know, why do you think people believe this? I know that's a loaded question, but Jesus, man. Like,
I mean, it's one of those explanation things. What better explanation did they have at the time? And you're right. Like they would take all sorts of precautions.
Fuck, our kid's got red hair. He's evil. You know, and then,
that,
you know,
that's still prevalent. But they would bury them and put stones in their jaws.
Yep.
So they couldn't close the mouth.
Remove their teeth. You know,
if they cut the head off. Were reanimated, they couldn't close their jaw, and therefore they stay safe.
This is fucking bullshit. fuck, you know. What a weird just way to live your life, you know. Now I'm sure 100 or 2 from years from now, people will be like, oh my god, look what they fucking did. But you know, this has all led to modern vampires and vamps. There are people, I don't know if you know this or not, that drink fucking blood and say that they are vampires and they need it. There's also psi vampires, which if you've watched What We Do in the Shadows, they kind of have both of them. Just fucking hilarious show. And Pee Wee Herman reprises his role from Buffy the Vampire Slayer as the vampire. I forget his name. Just fucking hilarious. Anyway, have you ever met people in real life that are, say they're real psi vampires or they're blood drinkers, not just for sex, but because of, they say it makes them whatever?
Nobody that would be aware of it themselves. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are psychic vampires out there that just drain you of energy and drain the
And
room
that's when
energy.
I realized that I had tuberculosis for the first time. And then I, when I went to the doctor, you know, just those people like, oh my God, shoot me.
There are
why?
People that you get a weird feeling from and you just don't like being around them. I used to feel that a lot, you know, when I was younger, of like people that were super volatile.
People
like,
give you the heebie-jeebies and they do drain you. They're like, oh, I can't be around this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm winding down here. One of my favorite stories. So Lisa and I, we love to like, go, especially like Halloween time, like excuses to dress up, you know, like go to events. And there was the Chicago Vampires Ball, and this was last year, the year before, I forget. So we go, and just, you know, it's like, hey, there's food, there's dancing, there's going to be a queen of the they're called the Queen of the Damned, but it's men or women can enter and stuff. And I was like, cool, man, you know, this is going to be really cool. And it was at a brewery downtown. It was private and they shut it down. Holy fuck, it was a fuck party. I say fuck party. It was, we got there and we're like, yay. And then they're like, back here for an extra $15 is the torture dungeon. And you could pay to be tortured. And it was like all swingers and shit like that. I'm like, I missed that part of the fucking thing online. And I think a lot of people are like that too. They're just like, what is going on? It was a blast. Just watching, you know, because I'm... I'm like a people watcher, but we're just like, holy fucking shit. And the food was served on naked people, naked bodies.
Nice.
So I can check that off my bucket list. Yeah, you know, so vampire orgies are a real thing. lots of fake teeth. Bite marks. What's your favorite, if you got to look at like movies, what's your favorite vampire movie?
I know it's not popular with, I don't know, purists maybe. Mm-hmm. I really like, oh God, people are already like, oh God, he's going to say it. I really like the Francis Ford Coppola one.
Really?
I like how they did with Gary Oldman and
yeah,
Keanu Reeves.
That fucking red fucking armor was just weird to me.
I mean, there are a lot of weird choices in it, but I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to go with that.
I've crossed oceans of time to be with you.
Hear me!
Oceans of time. I would probably, you know, stake someone to be with Winona Ryder. Winona. Oh, I say Winona and I get yelled at. Winona. I'm going to go with another not traditional, but I fucking love Dusk Till Dawn. And second is What We Do in the Shadows, the movie. Just fucking, just so fun. Hilarious. And hey, we're werewolves, not swearwolves.
I like the show better than I did the movie.
He goes, oh, really? My favorite line in the show, he goes, they're like, why do you think that you prefer to eat virgins? And he goes, well, let me put it this way. I'm not going to do the voices. Let me put it this way. If you're going to have a sandwich, I think you'd liked it better if no one had fucked it first. And I'm like, you know what? I get it. I fucking get it. You know? So
yeah,
there you have it. Vampires, another look at them.
You can talk about vampires all damn
well. Well, I mean, truly. We could have just said, hey, let's talk movies and filled up 2 hours of just remember this and remember that. And, you know, there's so many, you know, what was that Jim Carrey one?
Earth Girls Are Easy.
Not quite. Hold on, I got to Google this. Jim Carrey vampire movie. According to Fan and Wiki. Oh, no. Fandom. Shut up.
You asked her.
I don't want her to talk.
Don't talk.
Once Bitten.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the Earth Girls Are Easy, yeah, just that was what early in his career, you know.
Wasn't Gina Davis also in a vampire movie?
Transylvania 5000 or something like that. Was that it?
Yeah, with Jeff Goldblum.
Earth Girls Are 6 degrees of Separation.
Right? Jeez.
Man, what a, yeah, yeah. Gina, Transylvania 5000. I had not even thought of that in a very, very long time. Transylvania 5000, that was the fucking, they were trying to call it back when it was like Party Lines and shit. That's a dated fucking reference. Anyway, vampires, kids, there you have it. Don't get bitten, but if you do, make sure that you are consenting. That's my best trait. And if you can fly, and if you're a real, if you're a psi vampire, and you actually live in that life, or you're a blood drinker, get a hold of us. Maybe we want to talk to you. Maybe not in person.
They're all like, it's a curse. You don't want this. I'm like, shut up. You don't know my life.
You don't know. Then I tell them my life. They're like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, here, let me bite you twice.
Sit down, chum. I'm going to tell you a story.
Chum.
And you just keep going. Yeah, I see it now. It's just a, you know, it's just a threat to society. I got to keep going. Anyway, like we said before, 773-669-7277. Get us your voicemails. Go to vampire.com. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, see what you got there.
Hysteria51.com. You can find links to everything. And you also click on the microphone there if you want to leave us a voicemail. Weird at Hysteria51. We need your weird news.
Even if you're like, hey, haven't heard you guys talk about this. Just riff on this for a while.
Yeah.
We'll take that.
Vampires. You dumbass. Anyway. patreon.com/hysteria51. You can get all these episodes for $1. no ads. So that's fun. And if you're on Facebook, hop on to Stereo Nation. It's our discussion group. Very active in there. Lots and lots and lots of new content every day. It's a blast. What you got going on? Anything fun in the works for you, pal? Mr. Dave?
Not a lot. You know, I'm focusing on Macbeth right now. We'll be doing that end of August here. And that's kind of where all my time and energy is.
You're not supposed to say, now, you don't say that when you're in the theater. It's just the Scottish play.
Good thing I'm in my fucking office.
The Scottish Fuck, I'm working from the theater. That's a fun one, man. That is it's one of those stories, speaking of vampires, that's been redone and redone in a lot of different ways.
You know, we are doing it in a different way.
It's a vampire.
We're doing a Star Wars theme.
Oh, you fucking beautiful bastard.
So Macbeth's journey is kind of like Anakin's is what we're
because what we're that was at. A fucking same fucking thing that he used for it. So yeah, it makes fucking sense.
So yeah.
Oh my Lord.
It should be fun.
It's
should
a fun. Space Western Shakespearean drama.
Western might be cool.
Yeah.
Never thought of that. I want to direct Macbeth, if I ever do, I would do it as like a Mad Max dystopian future type of setting. I think
everything should be in a Mad Max dystopian setting. We need to prepare.
Exactly.
Get your guzzoline and
this is
go to war.
Holding a mirror up to society like it's meant to.
And you hope that you have a reflection. See, it all comes back. It all comes back.
Oh, God.
We'll see you next week when we're talking Earth Girls Are Easy. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.